all the week. We've been enjoying the presence of God. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? You almost don't want to turn it loose, you know what I'm saying? Just want to keep on praising it. Praise invites praise and worship. Well, praise invites the presence of God. When he presents himself, you worship him. There's such an anointing in this place. The atmosphere for the Spirit to move. The kingdom to manifest itself. And the people of God to be blessed. God loves to bless his people. He loves to come in their presence, hug them, touch them, speak to them, let them know how much he cares for them, how much he loves them, how much he wants to bless them more and more every day. Increases on my mind. For the people of God. But they know how to walk in increase. Know how to go beyond breakthrough. I'm going to talk to you about that after Dr. Fall preaching. Going beyond breakthrough. Knowing how to unlock things in the spirit. Knowing how to unlock things in the spirit. Doing exploit. Doing unusual thing. Just because you want to. And nobody big enough to stop you. Oh my. Oh my. Miracles will begin to happen everywhere. Everywhere where? Everywhere you go. You'll know how to function in this kingdom. That's what we're trying to get into you. You sacrificed to come here. You took vacation to come here. You changed schedules to come here. That's why God is blessing you. You made it a point. I'm going to get there. I'm going to be there. When the glory falls, I'm going to be under the sprout. God bless you because you separated yourself to be here. Many talk that talk, but not everybody walk that walk. You here? I say you here. Answer me, you here? The word is going forth. Out of, watch what I say, watch what I'm saying. Out of apostles, the word is going forth. There's an apostolic anointing here. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, a man was arrested. Maybe some of y'all. This man was arrested. The Holy Ghost told him give 5,000. He give 2. And he arrested. And I see him trembling, fear and trembling. And he brought the other 3 this morning. If the Holy Ghost can help you out, you know. Wow. How many of y'all been getting blessed? I watch you all on the monitor screen before I come out. And it has been hard for me to find somebody that's not praising God up in here. I see everybody in movement, in praise, in honor. The other night. All right. He's solidifying his seed, making it 3,333. I don't know, hold this. I don't know. All right. It's consciousness of sowing in here this morning. Y'all ready for the word? The young man that is going to minister this morning been with me for a long, long time. And he's a student. He can take a whipping. I have whipped him before. I trained him how. It's amazing, though. His dad is a powerful minister. And his dad told him, "No, son, I understand. Go ahead on. He's your covering. Follow him." His dad, what wisdom. I tipped my hat to him. He understood what was going on. And him and I, we meet his father. When we meet, we always make exchanges. We're both seniors in the ministry. And so we have exchanges. If you're around us, you don't know what we're saying to each other. We just got a wave. Sometimes a nod. Sometimes it just, I don't know, it just clicked. So I love his father very much. Now, Dr. Fall, I call his name wrong sometimes, so I have much of me, but David is a student. He's I began to bump his intellect, and I told him, I said, "You might turn loose sometime, son." In the spirit, man, that's many years ago. Now he got a flow going on now, and I asked him. See, I need the variety of gifts. And Marvin and Dan, my son, they did a tremendous job. David gonna do the same thing. Leroy Jr. got the minister. The blessing is this: I have three blood sons preaching in this camp meeting. My youngest son. My youngest son ministered yesterday. My youngest son ministered yesterday, and his wife told me he was off the hook. His wife. But his brother told me that he really ministered the word. And then I have two daughter-in-laws. They actually take care of the finances of this church. They watch the finances of this church. Got a son-in-law. He's Shauna's, my daughter, Shauna. She administrates all of this. She's a roving administrator. She makes sure everything go right, even in when the door's open. She say, "Don't y'all run over each other." And Shauna got to make sure the seating, but Shauna take care of all of the activities. That's my only daughter. She take care of that. And then I said, like I said, my two sister-in-laws, my daughter-in-laws take care of the finances, the accounting, and make sure the money's straight. And then my son-in-law, he began to be a master on taking care of my garden and my yard and different things and making sure everything is taken care of around here. And he also is a great, I'm going to say a word you're not going to understand, he's a great seasoner. He know how to make food taste so good, and just a little spice, make everything nice, you know. And he know how to cook healthy. So he helped my chef, help her get the food for us this week. These boys, you know, these boys got a tendency they won't eat three times a day. I don't know. And so they take care of business. And then my wife is my lover. And this real man. And my treasurer. Yeah. That woman has so much money to deal with, she thinks she a banker. But she take care of it. I don't mess with none of that. I just hang around them and play with them, you know. Amen. Amen. Now, Dr. Faub going to come. He's got a word for you. I know his wife here, his members here, his children here, he do what he won't do. I totally trust him, and I turn 100% of my anointing loose on him. That he can have the freedom. Columbus Christian Center, you here? Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to present to you our speaker this morning, Dr. David Falls.
Awesome time of worshiping God with our seed. That's such a precious thing apostles taught us, so I endeavor to hold steady until the Holy Ghost has worked on people for that. But isn't the camp meeting great?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Hallelujah. I mean, there's nowhere I'd rather be on earth than where I am right here, right now. And if camp meeting is great, isn't Apostle and Mom Thompson great? Aren't they great? I mean, really great? Apostle, I recognize you as the most anointed man on this earth. That's just not, it's not me just being nice. You're the most anointed man, the richest man too, on this earth. And it is an awesome privilege to be your son in the gospel. I will never settle for being with you the longest if it cannot also be being with you the strongest. I don't care about the years. I care about the quality and the substance of being a son and being a servant to you. It's an honor. It's the highest honor of my life. And I thank God for you. I just thank God for you. I want you to be seated. Mom, the most graceful lady, the most graceful, powerful, gently powerful woman in the world. No question. No question. I want to read, give me a seat one more time. I want to read a couple of paragraphs to you, I think, in the form of seals and decorations for your soul that I think will help you. I'm going to read them, and then if you'd just be prayerful a couple of moments after each one, that'll just prime our soul to be able to receive properly the Word of God. Number one, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The day I was born, in God's eye, is full of awe. He carries my picture in his wallet. My photo is on Jesus' mantle. And Holy Ghost lock screen is my latest picture. Pray that out for a minute. Just pray that out. That's how God the Father thinks about you. Always on his mind, always before his face. In Jesus' name. This second one, I choose to act on the knowledge of the good things in me that come from Christ. There is good in me. Yes, there are plenty of areas where I need his help. But that does not mean I am all bad. There is good in me, and I plan to find it and praise God for it. Pray that out for a moment. Pray that through, cycle it through your soul and your thoughts. In Jesus' name, God does love me. As proved at the cross. He loves me. And I accept his call for me to love myself. There. There.
I said it.
I love me.
I love me.
Pray that out for a moment.
In Jesus' name. All right, well, we get started. Turn to Philemon, the book of Philemon. It only has one chapter. It'll be easy for you to find where we're going. As we go through this morning, harmonious conditions and agreeable surroundings and the best of everything that God has is going to begin to furnish your whole life. You're going to find at the end of this camp meeting, because of Apostle and how he has laid this out by the Holy Ghost, your life is going to be everything you want and nothing that you don't. I assure you that's a possibility. And you're going to learn that Satan is defeated. The only time we're going to start talking about him is just in the context of him being defeated. No attacks, no, he got the best. No, he is defeated. He is so far out of our class. He's way out of depth and beyond his own jurisdiction. And he's about to learn that in about 8 different octaves. He has nothing that can mess with you and I. Hallelujah. Now, the main opening is going to be, is obviously Philemon, but I cannot ignore Matthew 6:33. Apostle helped us so much earlier this week that I think we're looking at the wrong end of that verse. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you, right? And he taught us that when you're looking at the wrong end, it makes everything take longer. And that's a true statement. Think about a telescope. So you take a telescope, if you look at the right end, it magnifies what you're looking at. But if you're looking at the wrong end of a telescope, it takes what you're looking at and pushes it further away. So that's that Matthew 6:33 he talked about. We've been, and that's the reason some of our manifestations look so far away, is we're looking at the wrong end. So when we cease looking for the add-ons, and motivate ourselves in the area of seeking, is going to bring those things right into our presence. You see me? He also talked about Ephesians 3:20, according to the power that works within me, all things God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all things. We thank God for that. Ephesians 1:3, how he's blessed us already. I'm already blessed. Say it again. I'm already blessed. In spiritual blessings. That brings to my mind Eve and how Satan was able to say to her, did God really say this? And so he talked her out of where she already was. And so she gambled away the chips she had by not knowing she already had it. And so we run the risk of looking for spiritual blessings we already have them. And you forfeit what you have when you do it that way. He talked about, I want to make sure I'm connecting these cars properly. But ambassadors, embassies, delegations, immunity. He talked about that on Sunday and then early in this camp meeting. And I remember this. This is such a great illustration because Apostle was in Washington, D.C. I had the privilege to be with him. And we went to the White House and the monuments. But one thing we also did was we went to Embassy Row. It's this area of Washington, D.C. where all the embassies of other countries are. And I'd done some research on it, and the embassies are laid out, marble, gold, silk, just laid out. Even if the nation is broke, but when they set up an embassy, they want their embassy, no, we're prosperous. They want it to look right. Now, you know God's not broke. So if a broke country, Namibia or some such thing like that, a broke country sets up an embassy in Washington and says, we want everybody to see how we roll, even if they don't roll that way. How much more does God, the creator of heaven and earth, want his embassy in Darrow, his embassy in Houston, his embassy in Columbus, his embassy in Marysville, to be laid out so everyone knows how he's rolling. Does that make sense to you? Do you see what I'm saying? And so we remember that we're an embassy, we're an ambassage, we are ambassadors, and we're representing him as very crucial and important. And in this government, anytime you say kingdom, you're saying also government. You understand government is governmental, it is territorial, it's military, it's all about taking over. These are important things he has taught us that we have to carry with us into this study. Now in Philemon, and this is it's a simple, God bless me, it's a simple scripture, it's a simple word, but it's powerful. It's powerful. He talks here about the communication of your faith being effectual by acknowledging every good thing that is within you. I want to lay that again, that the communication of your faith would become effectual, effective, results, production. How? By acknowledging every good thing in you that is in Christ. Apostle talked yesterday, he was teaching them on creative, being creative, creating out of the inner man from the inside. And I wonder sometimes, I said, why do we produce, not anymore, but have been producing less than anybody else? I mean, even a good Muslim got enough fire to get on the street and sell newspapers. There ain't no truth, no revelation, but they're dedicated. Jehovah's Witness, no truth, false prophet. They're knocking on doors with commitment. And I'm like, where the Christians at? What happened? And we got the truth. I mean, we got the truth in our hearts. What happened? It comes down to not being able to get what's on the inside to the outside. And when you struggle long enough and it won't come out, it look like it doesn't work. And so anything that look like it's not working, you start to tap out after a while. You say, well, it ain't all that. It didn't really work. But I come here to tell you, it works. This that has been laid in you this week works and will produce in your life without any hesitation. You hear me? So we're going to talk about three things. That's all. Number one, the communication of my faith. Say, communication of my faith. Very important. All right. Number two, we're going to talk about what? Becoming effectual. All right. Becoming effectual. And then number three, we'll talk about by acknowledging every good thing in you in Christ. Now, sometimes the sequence in Paul's writing and in the Bible in general, the sequence, you got to put the sequence right. For instance, Jesus said this, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind. And then number two, you should love the neighbor, your neighbor as yourself. All right. The order is not the way it's written, because you got to love God first. Then you got to love yourself. Then your neighbor, because you love your neighbor as yourself. So you would be first, even though you're listed third. You follow what I'm saying? So I want to go in the correct order in terms of understanding how to stack this thing up. So the first one is acknowledging every good thing in you in Christ. That's very important. It's easy to point out the bad things. Anybody got some issues? Anybody got a pass? Bishop talked about that. You got a pass? Know how you look in that closet and you see skeletons in there jingling and jangling? There's all kind of thing. The old me tries to get a resurrection and become the now me, right? You know what that's like, right? But 2 Corinthians 4:7 says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And he said it's on purpose. We have this treasure in earthen vessels so that, you see me? So that we know the power is not of us, but of God. God purposely picked flawed people through which to reveal his kingdom, so that it would be clear that it was not them, but him that was at work. Right? So I'm acknowledging that this treasure is on the inside of me. Apostle talked about it yesterday. The kingdom of God is on the inside of me already. It's in me right now. And when you get the kingdom in you enough, it'll come out. You ever ate something, I don't know, with some garlic or something in it? You eat it, and not right away, but sometime later that day, you feel some kind of, you know. It's what's in you coming out. You're going to have some kingdom belches when you get back home from all this that you took in this week, all this revelation, all of this impartation. You're just going to be like, the kingdom coming out. Say, excuse me, it's the kingdom coming out. Romans 8:11. I want you to turn there. This is an important scripture about acknowledging the good things within you. We struggle, and those of us that have passed and that have mistakes and that have had things we did wrong, which of course will be everybody in here, right? Bishop talked about it yesterday. It's difficult. Our mind just wants to keep going back to that, and it's those repeats. It's not what happened. It's how it continues to happen and be played out in your mind. Look, all right, I'll go old school for a minute. I appreciate Laserdisc, CDs, DVDs, and MP3s and all that, but I came up old school. I'm an old school guy, all right? I came up, we had 45. That's an A and a B side, right? Then we had 33s. Then we had 78s. Now, you put it on a record player, the 45 spins real quick. The 33 is a little slower, 78 is going real slow. All right, based on the way the song was recorded, that's how you pick what speed to put it on. You put it on a stylus, all right? You put it on a spindle. You put the record on a spindle, right? And it's on the spindle, then it sits there, and an arm comes over and holds it in place. Nothing like an arm to hold you in place, you know what I'm saying? It holds it in place, then the record drops. And then the needle by itself will come over and then land and start playing the song. Right? Well, I found out, it took me a while, but I found out while the song's playing, if you pick the arm up and take it out the way, the record player does not know it's supposed to stop. It'll just keep playing that same song over and over again. And I found out that's what our enemy has done in our minds with our thoughts. He took our mistakes, and rather than letting a mistake play one time and that's it, he picked the arm up and let it keep playing over and over and over again. But this day, we're going to put that arm back over, and you're going to play one time and that's it. No more repeats. Say it again, no more repeats. Just because somebody won the NBA championship last year did not mean they get to get it again this year. That don't mean nothing. You got it last year. That don't mean you get me this year. And up in Ohio, we are loving Ebron James. We love Ebron. We say Ebron now because the Golden State Warriors took the L. Okay, I'm sorry. Romans 8:11. This is crucial. This is very crucial. This is crucial, critical, and vital. Crucial, critical, and vital. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will quicken your mortal bodies by that same spirit. You could live the rest of your life just on that scripture. Look, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, then he who dwells in you will change all your earthly circumstances by that same spirit. So within you and me right here today is the capacity to change everything. Your whole mortal situation by what's going on the inside. You see that? So the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus lives on the inside of me. Now, he already raised me from death to life, but he also is raising all and quickening all of my mortal, earthly situations and circumstances, right? Now, 1 Corinthians 2, I think 11 through 16, Paul says it this way. He says, for what man knows the spirit of a man except the spirit that's in the man? So who knows what's in a man except the spirit that's in him? Even so, no man knows what is in God except the spirit of God. Right? So now let's turn it back around. Your spirit man on the inside of you, he has detailed files on you. Hold on. Not the Holy Ghost, not the Holy Spirit, your spirit. Your spirit has detailed files. He got them from Holy Spirit. But he gave them to your spirit. See, they're spiritually discerned. So your spirit has them. The problem is that my soul doesn't. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And I pray, God, that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? My whole spirit, my whole soul, my whole body. All of it. All of it. Right? So I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a physical body. Am I right? With my spirit, I contact God. All right, because I'm made in God's image, right? Yeah. With my body, I contact the three-dimensional world around us through this GPS system, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and hearing, right? Five senses. Yeah. Am I talking right? Yeah. All right, and then with my soul, that's how I get the realm of my thoughts, my feelings, my choices and decisions, my actions, my behaviors, my character. Yeah. Are you here? Yeah. My habits, and in my lifestyle, all come out of my soul, man. And so that's the part that's lagging behind. In my spirit is the Holy Spirit. That's not the problem. My soul is having a difficult time because of soul issues, thought warfare, mind attacks, repeat records. And so that's when we got to work. Now, understanding this, you're going to have to spend time with God. I must spend time with God to find out what God says about me. Turn to Numbers. I may not have the space to do all this. Go to Numbers 12. Find Numbers 12. There is an inherent benefit in learning sufficiently who God says you are and what he says you are. And not just learning it, internalizing it, and then saying it, acknowledging what good is on the inside of you. And it's interesting to me that when you really do this in God, people think you're being arrogant. They think you're getting into braggadocio. They think you're getting into pride. I had some member, I can't say their sons and daughters, because sons and daughters don't leave. If you just heard some good sermons that got touched by some outline, you can leave. But if you really have been transformed, you like Peter, you're like, where am I going to go? I mean, I'm like desperate. Don't send me away. I don't know where else to go. They sat in my office lecturing me. That's that's another sign they're not a son or a daughter. How you going to lecture your... They sat in my office and talking about, well, I just have enough of, I don't need to be hearing. I need the gospel. I don't need to be hearing about Apostle Thompson's pens. And I don't need to be hearing about the Mont Blancs and how many Rolexes he has. What did you say? I said he's telling you about his watch so you can watch what he's doing so you can have one. Sitting in my office telling me about God is sovereign. You can't make God heal somebody. And you can't make God bless somebody. And I didn't have an answer. The Holy Ghost gave it to me about a week later. Holy Ghost said, listen, you should have said this. Sovereign is not you can't make God do it. Sovereign is you can't stop God from doing it. They had it backwards. They're looking through the wrong end. God is a healer. You can't stop that. God is a blesser. You can't stop that. God is a deliverer.
You can't stop that.
God is an increaser.
You can't stop that.
You can't stop God. Moses, this is Numbers 12. I know you know this. Who wrote the book of Numbers? Moses wrote the book of Numbers, right? Just so I'm not pulling anything over your eyes. Moses wrote the book of Numbers. Is this correct? Now, you remember, let me go back and review. What are we doing? We're talking about the communication of my faith, becoming effectual, productive, manifestations, as I acknowledge the good things within me in Christ. So that's what we're starting with, talking about the good things, right? Say, there's good in me again. Now, Moses is going to show us how to do that. Look, oh, Lord, I love it. All right, Numbers 12, 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses. See, when you find out what I'm about to show you, it ain't going to matter who's speaking anything against you. It can't matter. All right, so they spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. It's a double statement. He said the same thing twice. She must have been fine. He mentioned it twice. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. See, when you got somebody speaking against you, don't worry about it. The Lord is listening too.
Now.
Let's remember. Who wrote this?
Moses
wrote this, right? Moses wrote. Now, look what Moses wrote in verse 3. Moses said, I'm the most humble man on the earth. Do you see that? Now, wait. That's not a very humble thing to say, is it? No, it is humble if you recognize God did it and God said it. Humility is not downplaying the good things that are within you. Humility is not downplaying what Jesus has accomplished in your life. Humility is not downplaying and denying the things God put in you for a purpose. I want you to lean into this and let every trait of God make you great. Every trait he put on the inside of you. All right, let's look at another one. Turn to John 14. I'm not going to labor on this all day, but I want to get this across. John 14. What kind of man says, I'm the most humble man on earth? It sounds like apostle, doesn't it? Maybe Moses was an apostle. Doesn't that sound bold? Sound like something that would make somebody upset. All right, John 14, 6. You've got to be able to acknowledge what God is doing. Now, I'll show you why in about 5 minutes. It's it has to do with your soul man coming into lock with your spirit man. That's been the problem we've been having. Our soul man, and see, sometimes we'll think because something is in our spirit, you ain't accomplished nothing. If you're born again, it's all in your spirit. Is it in my soul, though? Is it in my thoughts? Is it in my feelings? Is it in my choices? Is it in my decisions? Is it in my behavior and my actions? Is it in my habits? Is it in my character? Because if it's not there, it's not coming out.
Right.
Even if it's in my spirit.
Right.
All right, John 14, 6. Are you there?
Yes.
Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, in your Bible, are those way, truth, and life, is that capitalized? Anybody?
No.
Because the way, the truth, and the life, from a Hebrew perspective, It's not talking about he's the way Interstate 10. He's the truth, the 6 o'clock evening news. He's the light. No, it's not talking about in a generic sense. The old Jews understood that the way talked about the outer court. Was called the way. The truth is the inner court. That's the way the Jews saw it. And then the life is the Holy of Holies all the way on the inside. So this is why the Jews got so mad at Jesus. He showed up talking about, I'm the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies all in one. You know what they did? They said, what did he say? This is what's going to happen to you and I. We go back chock full of camp meeting, back into our home, back into our churches, back into our lives, all our circumstances. What are they saying? When you learn how to emit from your mouth what God says about you. Another guy, I don't want you to turn there, 2 Corinthians, I think 12, Paul, look, you cannot be shy about what God has done. You can't, you cannot hold back. It has something to do with your soul being able to bring forth. Listen, Paul said, there's a man caught up to the third heaven. I don't know him. You know, I mean, it wasn't me or nothing like that, but you know, but this guy saw revelation beyond revelation. Now, obviously he was talking about himself. Now, he tried to mask it, but not very well, because we know he's talking about himself. So you could try that on for size. Oh, yeah, there's somebody I know. Burdened in debt. They're completely debt-free. I mean, I don't know. I just saw them. I don't really know them. But you must acknowledge the good stuff in you that's in Christ, that came from God. You got to acknowledge it. So, see where he wants to go with this. All right, so write it down or say it again. Acknowledge. That word acknowledge means act on the knowledge. Right. So you got to get the knowledge and you got to act like it. Yeah. All right? And being submitted to someone in ministry is one of the keys to learning the good things that are within you. Do you know that all my experiences in my life were for him? All my experiences. Even before I knew him. Even before I knew him, before I knew there was a him. All my experiences. Do you know I was a drum major? I'm telling you right now, I can march out a 22 and a half inch core style step in my sleep. Come on. 8 steps at 22 and a half inches, it's 5 yards. 16 steps, it's 10 yards. I can mark off a football field. I can do it. That was in me. All those experiences, leadership experience. I was a debate team champion, state silver medalist in the state of Virginia. Debate team specialist. That was for him. My mind thinks. I got an uncle who's a U.S. congressman, so all kind of laws, legislation, writing things out, creating litanies. See, it was never about me the whole time. It was always about him. He called me. Oh, my God. He called. He said, David, he said, we're working on an alliance for ministers. He said, I want you to put it together. And then it just started rolling. It just started rolling. Circle call. First tier meeting. Second tier meetings. It just started coming out. It started rolling out. It never was for me. It always was for him. Until you recognize what God put in you is not for you. It's for somebody else. An apple tree cannot eat its own apples. The apples are for somebody else. I'm not great for myself. I'm great for him. God will send me somebody else that can be great for me. Send them, Lord. Send them. I, I'm going to get off course a little bit, but the Holy Ghost allowed me, because this bothers me. I don't like people impinging on him.
Right. Come on.
Because when you impinge on him,
yeah,
then you're affecting me.
Right.
And I'm prosperous, but I haven't manifested it yet. And so while you trying to slow him, you messing with
come
me.
On, you messing with me.
We use words, I got to go there. We use words like code, honor, and protocol to describe a life building something kingdom-wise.
Right.
You use it as a punchline at a conference.
Yeah. Come on.
I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain why we do what we do to somebody who sits under the covering he provides, help me out, and then questions the way he provides it. I'd rather you just say thank you and go your way. Or pick up a Founders Day envelope and bring a seed. Either way, I don't care what you think you're entitled to. One person fell off, and he doesn't bother, it doesn't bother him. He's Teflon. I mean, he's an apostle. But it bothered me that he had to think about it.
Right.
I said, if I see this dude, I'm going to kill him.
Yeah.
That's the way I felt. I wouldn't do it unless I had the weapon with me. This is life or death, man. I got 1,200 people at Faith Stadium counting on me being connected.
Yeah.
I got 7 people in my house counting on me staying connected. I can't let you be messing with him. You wanted me to stay calm and diplomatic, you should have kept me from getting to Darryl, because that.
Yeah. Come on, doctor. Which?
It's diplomatic, but it's some street too.
Yeah. Come on.
Street diplomacy.
Yeah.
All right. Let me talk about this for a second. This is important. So you understand how, a man pursues a woman. Right? And then they get married. Right? After they're married, then as a matter of fact, the scripture says in Genesis 2:18, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave. See, there's a land where you cleave. It's called Cleveland. All right? Get up, Jeff, get up. So he cleaves into his wife. Now watch, see this. They become one flesh. All right, they become one flesh. Now that's not just them being one in terms of they walk and they're in agreement. They become one flesh in their children, in their offspring. Right? And so the way this works out, and I found this out the hard way, but end up being the glorious way. When a man and a woman come together in marriage to procreate, right? Okay, so I'm just trying to make sure I edit myself properly. So I caught enough whoopings. I don't want to catch one today. All right, so the man and woman come together. Now, the woman in the procreation process has X chromosome. All right, the X chromosome, you remember this, the X chromosome is the woman, is the female chromosome. All right, the man is the Y chromosome. Why? All right, so now a woman can only bring X's. That's all she has is X's. Stay with me, this will help you see this. A man has an X and a Y. So depending on what he brings to the party will determine the sex of the child. If he brings an X, he and her are going to have a girl. XX. If he brings a Y, she's going to have a boy. XY.
Right.
Now notice how God organized this. She don't pick anything. He's the leader. He's the one saying, this is what we're about to work on. Oh, come on. A little marriage conference in the middle is not going to hurt. He's the one. He's not a sissy. He's leading. He's saying, this is what we're working on. Now, once he gives it to her, she's the one that grows it. And his hands are off. That's why the world wants to confuse the roles between male and female. It goes to the point of them trying to come against God's creative power in the earth. Now, here's what I want to say to you. This will be a humdinger. In this context, the spirit man, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the spirit man is the male. The soul man is the female or the mother. And the body are the kids. So what must happen is my spirit must get with, I wanna get with you. My spirit must get with my soul. Come together in creative, conceptual moments where my spirit man will deposit seed from the Holy Ghost into my soul, which is a womb. And my soul will grow and nurture that word until it produces a manifestation baby. There, I got it out. Getting that out was like having a baby. I was just squeezing, trying to get it out. Do you understand this? All right, so the reason we have very few manifestation babies is that our spirit man, he's got all the seed. Remember Romans 8:11, if the spirit of him that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken your mortal body. That's in my spirit already. But my soul is an unruly wife. She has all the revelation. She has all the scriptures. Oh. My spirit man must be in the lead. He has the detailed files on who I am. He's the one who knows I'm the most humble man. He's the one who knows I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He's the one who knows I got great revelation. And he's going to give that to who? To my soul. And my soul, being the female characteristic that it is, whatever you sow into it, it's going to grow it and make it greater and better. See, male and female, neither one is really better than the other. They need each other. A soul without the spirit man can't. A spirit without the soul man won't. They must. Oh, I'm going to use my last minutes to make a love connection. Let's make a love connection. Let's get spirit and soul together. I think that'll be good. Because there's so much in your spirit already. The only way it'll come out is for them to make love and make a manifestation baby. What if everything you've ever heard or seen, good from God and the Word, could come to pass in your life? Before you answer that question, it can, it can, it can. It absolutely can. All right, be seated, be seated. Let me see if I can put a bow on this. So, okay, so once I've acknowledged the good things in me, I'm celebrating those things. I'm talking about them. And you know what? And I'm telling you about it. And I'm not bragging. I'm not boasting. I'm really honoring the finished work of Christ. Apostle already has it down. Some of us need some practice or we need some manifestation, but here he's got it down. He said, hey, I got four jets, they all paid for. Five RVs, they all paid for. What's he doing? He's not bragging on himself. He's acknowledging the good things in him, in Christ. He also said he's been praying for 40 years. He said that one time, he said, I over 40 years I've been praying this way. I said, will I ever catch up? So don't allow someone's success to intimidate you. All you got to do is realize how to get into your world with the Holy Spirit and start acknowledging the things that he already has on the inside of you. Oh, my goodness. Talk about it. I want you to talk about it for a minute. Talk. Say, I'm this, I'm that, but nothing bad. We already know that. I've got grace. I'm an organizer. I think well. I fix things. I'm good with my hands. Those are not accidental traits. Those are things God put it on the inside of you. Talk about it. I'm creative. I decorate. I just see colors. Talk about it. I hear things. I see things. Now, thank God for it, if it's so. All right, turn to Romans chapter 4, because I want to talk about persuasion, all right, because this is the result of your spirit and soul interacting together. You end up with your soul being persuaded. Matter of fact, your soul being fully persuaded. If you're waiting on a manifestation, and I'm waiting on some, I don't mind saying that to you, I'm waiting on some. Here's what you must understand. When you become fully persuaded, let's see it in Romans 4 because it's even better the way he said it. Romans chapter 4, I'll start at verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead and called those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, verse 19, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. You know, I just saw something right there. Sarah's womb was dead, but Abraham's seed brought it alive. She didn't have an operation. It was the fact, Lord Jesus, I got it now. Oh, shouldn't let me see this. Look, 1 Peter 3. 5, 6, and 7 says that Sarah obeyed Abraham and called him Lord. She yielded and submitted. When my soul yields and submits to my spirit, the deadness in my womb will come alive and I'll bring forth what babies I'm supposed to have. See? Can you see? Hey, I haven't seen that. Goodness. My word. And then it goes on and talks about Abraham being fully persuaded. So, if I'm fully persuaded, I could be half persuaded. I could be 3/10 persuaded. I could be 5/8 persuaded. I could be 1/10 persuaded. It's full persuasion. When we are fully persuaded is when there's a performance. Not until you're fully persuaded. Not in your spirit, but your soul. Let me go over it again. How do I know my soul is fully persuaded? Look at what you're thinking. Look at what you're saying. Look at what you're feeling. That's how you can tell where your soul is. All right. So your faith walk is important. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse. The Holy Ghost is just pulling a smorgasbord. He's just a smorgasbord of charcuterie. He's just pulling it all out. All right. Working on the inside game. Faith is always working on the inside game. This is our second component. First one was acknowledging the good things within me. Now, the communication of my faith, the second thing I'm talking about, I'm almost finished that one. Then I'll close with making things effectual, being productive. Faith, with 2 Corinthians 5, 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. All right, and you tie that right in 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, but the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. So he says there are two types of things, seen things and unseen things. And then he says you're supposed to do two things. You got to understand when to see and then when to look. Just because you see something doesn't mean you look at it. He said, while we look not at what we see. Now, how am I going to do that? I'm seeing it. Yeah, he said, yeah, see it, just don't look at it. See, the way you change seeing things is by not looking at them. So once you see it, don't look at it. How many of us have problems, and what we do is we look at the problem? See, we see the problem, and then we also look at it. Don't ever see it and look at it. You've never seen somebody you didn't like? You saw him, and you act like you ain't see him. You said... what you do with the cancer. That's what you do with the bills. That's what you do with the sickness and disease. That's what you do with the delay. You don't say it's not there. You just act like it's not there. Where's he? Doctor say you're not going to get well? Just. No problem. Just don't look at it. You're not saying it's not there. You just don't look at it. What do? You look at God's solution to it. You got it? How many of you, be honest, you've been caught looking at what you see? I have. But no more. Right? See, the inside game. Faith is an inside game. It's an inside function. You're dealing with it on the inside. You're not. Matter of fact, Paul said later here, he said, while we look not at the things which are seen. I mean, we're not even acknowledging what's on the outside. I'm not even looking at what I see. See, faith doesn't even say, I don't have a headache. That's not faith. Faith is, I'm healed. My car is not a ragamuffin. It is. You lying. That's a lie. That's not faith. Faith is, I receive a new car. See, faith, if your faith is talking about what is, it's not faith. It's got to be looking at what's not yet. That's what makes it faith. You see me? Faith is inside. Faith is centripetal. Centripetal, inside. Manifestation is centrifugal on the outside. Well, you wanted something deep. I thought I'd give you something that would, you know, add to your vocabulary. Last thing, supernatural affect. You're going to have supernatural production. This is how it's going to happen. It's coming out of your spirit, but it's your spirit hooking up with your soul with a good Isley song. Man and woman get married, they want to have a baby, they get you need the Isleys. And so your spirit and soul come together in a way, like for instance, when you pray in tongues. That's Paul said, my spirit is the one praying. Not my mind, but my spirit is praying. Your spirit is not talking to the Holy Spirit. Your spirit is talking to your soul and then talking to God. It's bringing your soul into conversation with God. Can I help you with something? Your soul can be trained to hear God, but it got to hear your spirit first. See, talking to yourself is fine. It makes you feel much better. Just know where to draw the line. See, when you're praying in tongues, your spirit is saying, hey, soul, let's go talk to God. That's how your soul learns. That's the voice of my Father. Eventually, your soul will hear that voice just like the spirit man. Actually, what when a man and a woman really become one, you ever notice how, help me, Holy Ghost, you ever notice how when people have been married in a good marriage long enough, they start to look like one another, they start to talk like one another, they start to act like one another? The longer your spirit and soul hang out together, your spirit man, hard-headed, stubborn, but it'll change its ways and start acting like a spirit. Sit down, soul, and listen, man. Sit down and listen, man. I need you to listen. All right, turn to this will be this is about the last scripture. Supernatural, Judges 3:32. So acknowledging the good things within you in Christ. You better acknowledge. Act on the knowledge of what God already did, of who he made you, your traits on the inside, your characteristics, what's good about it. I know you made mistakes. I have too. Just one or two, but I mean, I understand. You know that's hyperbole, right? You understand. We all have made mistakes. But what God is saying here is, I don't need you to focus on what you've done wrong. I need you to focus on what's right. You ever gotten a jam and a delay and said to yourself, what's wrong? What did I do wrong? Substitute that and start saying, Lord, what did I do right? What's good about this situation? What is here that you can work with? Because I'm not going down like this. It's not ending like this. It's not going down like this. So evidently you got something in store for me. What's working? What do I have in my cupboard that'll work? What do I have in my toolbox I can bring out? This is a good example. Read this. Judges 3:23. Let's go. Is that what I told you? Judges 3:32. Read it. You're going to make me look it up. See? Huh? Who? Huh? Huh? He what? Judges 3. Are you there? Am I looking right? Judges 3:31. Judges 3. That's my error. It happened once every 5 years, you know, just you understand. And after, all right, ready, read. This is James Bond, Jack Bauer, Neo from Matrix, Shaft. This is all the spies in the world. This man destroyed 600 Philistines by himself. Yeah. Come on. They had shut the road down. The I-10 was closed. You couldn't go. You had to take airline. You had to take the back roads. They shut everything down. The Philistines. And he got offended at it and said, I'm not putting up with it. Yeah. Now, here's the key. You got to take human enthusiasm, but you got to have it backed up by divine sovereignty. See, it can't just be I'm enthusiastic about what I'm doing. It must be God's in this too. God's in that too. He was upset, but he didn't act on his upsetness. He acted on God's plan for it. He whipped and destroyed them with a cattle prod. He didn't have a bow, didn't have an arrow, didn't have a sword. He used what he had. So this is, I want to write it down. Real quick. Write it down. Number one, this is what we learned from Shamgar. Start where you are. Use what you can have, number two. And number three, do what you can do. All right? Don't worry about, how am I going to sow? I ain't got nothing. No, use what you have. Do what you can do with it. Just start where you are. Don't be consumed with, I don't have this, I don't have that. Just obey God. Say, God, I'm willing to do whatever you tell me to do. You got it? It brings supernatural results. Anytime one man kills 600, That's some serious damage. And he didn't have sophisticated weapons. All he had was a basic cattle prod, 8 feet long. I'd like to see it. I think we get to heaven, I'm gonna see that video over and over again. I want to see that one. He killed 600 men. If he killed 600 men in the Old Testament, what can you and I do today? So now look, praise, thanksgiving, worship, praying in tongues, these are activities that where your spirit man is talking to your soul. Say, hey, come on, hey, baby. Hey, you know. And so when your spirit comes, see, your spirit man has a gravitas, like a gravity to it. Something about a good man. She can't describe it, but she's like, I just want to follow you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then a woman, it's not great. I call it je ne sais quoi. Je ne sais quoi. It's a character you can't really put your finger on, but and it makes him like, okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's it. So your spirit and soul have that going on, but we need to facilitate them coming together. I'm saying this as respectfully as I can. Your spirit and soul must have creative, conceptual moments together. You do that through prayer. You do it through praise, praying in tongues, praise, worship, thanksgiving. Yeah. All right? Yeah. Any of those type of moments, bring your soul, man. Matter of fact, stand on your feet for a second. Let's just enter into one of those for about 25 seconds. Let me see, which one can we do? Thanksgiving. Let's just be thankful. See that thankful? It pulls your soul, man, in. It pulls him in. We're thankful for you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Ghost, we acknowledge you. We're thankful for you. How great you are. How great you are. You love us. You love us so much. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the cross. Thank you. Thank you for putting my spirit and my soul together. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Go ahead. Go ahead. There's some things I heard while David was ministering. Actually, when you pray in the spirit, you take authority over your soul and your body. They have no choice but to fall in line. Because you and the Holy Spirit takes authority over them. And so that's another one thing for you to think about. Then another thing he's talking about, how to get your soul into obedience. It's the one giving you the problem. Sit down a minute. It's the one giving you the problem. I like the thing he gave us about the old record player. How many things that is hindering your life that Satan keep repeating and get you to repeat? You got to stop that. Stop going over that stuff over and over again. I don't have enough, or et cetera. God has caught into his kingdom and caught into his spirit, has put you in charge. David did a splendid job. He illustrates things, you know. Yeah. He bring the young and the older together. But you have to understand you're in charge. I remember I thought about that. You know, I come up here and after these boys are pastoring churches, I come up here and say things after they preach. I had a rookie do that to me. He don't get up and explain a new revelation just brought out. And the pastor didn't say nothing. He told me, let me give you a review. You ain't got no review. You ain't met no revelation yet. I ain't through with it yet. I left him, came home. Here's a secret. Here's a secret. And people don't know how to do this. You need to know how to shut your mind down. Shut your mind down on evil, hurting, ungodly, faith-taking thoughts. Just shut down on it. Say, I'm not listening. I'm not going to think this. You can't make me say it. You want to shut your mind out? You know, some wrong thought come, some sickness, some, say, you'll never make me say it. When you say you never make you say it, it will leave instantly. Because they know you're not dealing with somebody stupid. Also, Dr. Farb acknowledged this thing. Get with the fact that nothing and nobody can stop God from manifesting in your life what he promised. You wrote that down? You can't. Nobody. 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 And if you got good sense, not even you. I remember in training, he touched it. Thoughts leads to feeling. Feeling lead to action. Action lead to habit. Habit lead to character. And character lead to destiny. When you acknowledge, he talks about acknowledgement, when you acknowledge what is in you, it will manifest on the outside of you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I told Junior, I look at Junior, when he told you just begin to talk, y'all didn't know what to say. Yeah, yeah. Y'all fumbling around, barely talking. See, you just say anything, just say it. Anything good. Yeah. You know, you don't have to have it, I'm rich. You don't have to be it, just say it. I'm blessed. I'm strong. Just say it. I live in a big house. Oh, God. Look at me. Look at me. I'm living so good. The Lord is good. I have the victory. Great. I got great power on the inside of me. I'm successful. Look at my success. Y'all didn't say enough. Just talking like you're crazy. Talk what you want. You know you want some stuff. Stop saying you have it. I'm out of debt. My body is whole. I got a happy marriage. Woo! Look at it. Look at it. See, start saying something. Say the very thing that tell you you can't have it. Say it. Talk a while, y'all. Start saying something. I can't hear you. Say it. I'm strong. I'm rich. I'm blessed. I can't be defeated. You see what I'm saying? Huh? Lord, my house not big enough. I want a bigger one. I really bought that car, but I don't like it. I want another car. I want to use this till I get the car I want. I see myself with it. Ooh. I'm going up the step in that new house. Yeah, he told you to talk. You got to say something. He's trying to get you somewhere. All right. Yeah, I'm well, right? And then I like this, David. Don't see what you don't want. Don't look at it. You got a sore on your arm, look at your other arm. And acknowledge that what God saved or said is happening to the other arm. Powerful word. Thank God for it. Amen. The man told you, Moses wrote it by himself. Moses is the meekest man. He the one that God gave it to him. See, you don't want to talk bad about yourself. You know when you're going into pride and arrogance, but don't be talking yourself down trying to be spiritual. Come on. Lord, I don't want much. Get from around me. Way from around me. I don't want much. I'm trying to talk about you spiritual. I don't want that stuff. The Lord give you the stuff. Who the stuff for? Jesus Christ. Lift your offering. I'll never be broke. Another day in my life. As a matter of fact, not just being not broke,
I am rich.
Because the blessing of the Lord
make
us rich, and he had no sorrow with it.
I believe it.
I'm saying it.
All my money trouble.
Get on the truck today.
Manifestation.
After manifestation.
All my seed.
All my tithes.
Start coming up right now.
Tithes.
I'm talking to you.
Do what you're supposed to do.
Seed.
I'm talking to you.
Produce what you're supposed to produce.
Ooh, look at the harvest.
The harvest.
Woo!
Look at the harvest.
Woo!
Hold up.
Wait a minute. I want you to say what I say. I'm putting something in you.
Wow.
Look at the harvest.
Look at all that money.
Coming in my direction.
Woo,
the money just keep on coming.
Now
you all sold $1 million in Carolyn and I. And Carolyn, we get home and from the bank, they tell us we got $37,000 we don't even know nothing about. My security man right there, Bernard, he get a notice. It's 5,000, right? He got a 5,000 credit on his house. I want to say something now. I want to be like Moses now. Call who you're hanging with.
I believe
that supernatural money
is
coming in your direction right now to manifest
money
you didn't work for.
You believe it?
So, Father, these seeds, we command them to bring the type of harvest that this ministry is supposed to bring. We command these seeds to be plentiful. I want to pray one more time for the $1 million seed. You know, look at somebody and say, God, you know I'm part of $1 million seed? Wait a minute. Well, I don't get it to make. Now, men, y'all tell the men, talk to the men now, because I should have said both of them. Huh? So I know you ain't calling nobody no good. It was a man, right? Y'all had enough sense to calculate that, right? Y'all did it? Huh? You had enough sense? Yeah. You around a man, you ain't turn to him and say, yeah. Hey, David. We don't want none of that up in here. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, man. I was preaching in Port Arthur, and I got lost in the spirit. And in getting lost in the spirit, the Lord had revealed to me that the money just keep on coming. And I know when I say it, money starts coming. You know, money cometh is the root of all of this. But then it said the money keep on coming. And I found myself doing this. And then the interpretation came, then I started doing this. Because, see, you don't spend money, you circulate it. So I started doing that. And so when I originally got money cometh, the Lord wouldn't permit no song. He says, not for the world. He wouldn't permit no T-shirt, license plate, and all that stuff. But this song, this revelation, he wants us to sing it. Now, I'm going to let you go. I've been preaching all the week, not you. When Dr. Forbes talks about God preparing people for you, and they have to understand who you are. My cook, my secretary, this young lady sent here leading the praise, these two young men here in security. I have 22 employees. They love us. Even though sometimes we get real strong about some things, because I believe in the ministry of excellence. But I don't want everybody around me. Especially if you don't love me, I don't want you around me. Because somebody's going to get hurt. And it ain't going to be me. But God, and then their husband, John, Barbara, husband, just have so much respect. Terry, husband, he come in, he start developing himself to walk in this thing deeper. I watched it. These gifts God have sent here. Joanne is my cook. Her husband, he's a businessman. He got a job, but he's a businessman. He got houses rented out and stuff like that. But it just hum up. And then these girls wake 24 hours a day. These girls stayed up one. It was after 1 o'clock one night there. Those girls were serving us at 1:30 in the morning. Those girls got husbands. My usher, Calvin, right? Yeah, his wife. Man, they got how many? Four sisters, isn't it? Their mama raised them boys. Them girls can be around you, and you don't know they're there. But if you need them, they be present. Just raised right. You know when a wench not raised right, you got problems. Just raised right. You ain't raised right, I don't want you in my house. I don't want you around my guests. That boy leave my house with a good taste in his mouth. Those girls are so, they got the spirit. They ain't just in the flesh, they in the spirit. They know how to do it. Well, I mean, we just have a good time. Every year they come. You know, I got a guest house. And I got rooms in the house. I got the prophet chambers that some of them stay in. We just built it for them. Look at me. Listen at me. Let me talk. That's what money can do. Money can make you happy. Ain't nobody broke happy. I say what I want to say up in here. Stay long enough. I'm trying to train you. You here because you want to be here. Right? And so sometime I open my spirit, you might not understand exactly where I'm going, but I have some proof and evidence that this country stuff worked. In the city and in the field. All right, go and be blessed. May the peace and grace of God be upon you until we meet tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Somebody say, it just keeps on coming. Say it from your heart. Say it from your heart. It just keeps on coming.